Go ahead.
Today, I didn't take any breakfast.
No breakfast?
No breakfast whatsoever. No coffee. It's the first coffee I'm having here.
Have you eaten any lunch?
What lunch?
No. I can tell you're a hardworking man. My grandpa actually owned a restaurant. He passed away, but his big life's work was a restaurant that he got. And God, even though he owned a restaurant, you know, he would go all day and he hadn't eaten. It's like you work at a restaurant, but you're just working so hard, I think, that people forget to eat. Is that your case?
Was that the sound quality?
The sound was good, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to have you start off just by introducing yourself. Your name, your age, a little bit about yourself.
Including family and... Where do I live and
like
those?
I would say my name is Katrin Einhorn. I'm, you know, a reporter. I'm 28 years old. I live in Chicago. You know, whatever occurs to you to say about your, just a few sentences about yourself that you think are important.
My name is Manu Patel, and I'm 60 years old. I have a wife, 4 daughters. I live in Chicago for the last 17 years. And I'm very happy here in Chicago.
Good. Describe your work. Tell us about what you do and what that's like.
My work, I am a hotelier full-time for last 25 years. All I have worked in America is in hotels and motels. And out of 25 years, I probably work about first 2 years as a manager, and then I own the hotel till today.
And what is this? How many hotels do you own today? In a complete sentence.
So far, after I coming to Chicago, I have 3 independent and 2 franchise. One is Super 8 and one is Days Inn. These are the places I have ownership and a part ownership.
Okay. So let's bring you back to your childhood and start off, because this is a profile of you at the end of the day, so we're going to learn all about you in your life. So tell me and listeners about, you know, how you grew up, your parents, you know, a little bit about yourself that you think has turned you into the person that you are today.
About myself, I am from India. And in India, we have a state called Gujarat and a South Gujarat small town called Syadla, Syadla. It's such a small town. We have about 40 houses in the town. And back then, I took my primary education in my hometown, and then for the high school, I had to take a bicycle and drive and go 4 kilometers to get the high school education. And then a college education, I had to go out of town, live in a hotel, hostel, and got my degree in agricultural sciences.
What did your parents do?
My parents were farmers. Basically, my whole town is farmer's town in a way. And
town is what?
Farmer's town. It's farming town. And that's where we earn our bread. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with the farming, and then... that's interested me to go in a school and get the education in agriculture.
So what happened then?
To getting the education in agriculture, I got a job in a research station where we were doing the research on cotton and develop hybrid cotton varieties. For 2 years after research, I went into education. And I become a lecturer in an agriculture college in a botany department. And in the beginning, I teach physiology. And the later part, I taught genetics and plant breeding
oh.
in a college for a good 10 years.
Totally different.
And one thing I did very good in the college was the education part. You know, I think I know I'm a very good teacher. And I enjoyed being a teacher there. And I work in a college in Navsari, that is still in Gujarat, and university is called Gujarat Agricultural University, till 1979. In 1979, I migrated to America, and through friends and family I know from back home, I got a job in 3 weeks after I came to U.S. And I started working as a night clerk in an independent motel in Little Rock, Arkansas. And then I worked there as a manager for 2 years.
What was that like, that first time in the U.S. you were a new immigrant and you worked as a night clerk? What was that like?
From the culture where I come from, for the things I was doing in India, and coming into America and started working just like that, it was a very difficult thing. I have an accent, and I had a very hard time in the beginning to even understand what people were talking with me. And, you know, it took a little bit of time, you know, about a couple of months before all my fear went away. And
what were you scared of?
Just the communication part I was scared of, that if I want to explain something and then our accent is a little bit different, our language, the way we speak, is with the British, you know, thing. And here it's different. So it was a little bit different to communicate. Mm-hmm.
So, and what was it like working on the night shift? That must have been, here you had been teaching at a university. And all of a sudden you're working the night shift at a hotel.
Working night shift in a hotel was not a bad part. The good part is, like, when I came here, I bring my wife and my youngest daughter with me. And I left behind my three daughters back home. So the idea was to establish myself, put my footing right, and after I get settled, then, you know, bring them in. So in the beginning, it was not bad. I worked nighttime. I let my daughter stay with me up late till like 1:30 because I work nighttime. My wife start working 7 o'clock, have no babysitter. So I let her stay up late, and in the morning, 7 o'clock, I go to bed, take my daughter with me, and sometime 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, my daughter will crawl out of bed, and she will go and, you know, go in the kitchen or wherever, and then, you know, she will take out, you know, the grocery and mix it together or something before I get up and reach there, you know. It was a lot of fun then, though.
But you basically got her on your schedule.
Yes, I got her on my schedule. So we can work around. My wife can work in the morning, and I can work nighttime, and for a few months at least, you know. And then we put her into daycare.
And how old was she?
When we came here, My daughter was 1 year, 8 months old.
She's a baby.
Yes, she was just a baby. And she was a precious child. And she got trained faster, too.
Mm-hmm. Before we get too far away, I wanted you to talk about your decision to come here. Why you decided, it was a big decision, obviously you left three of your daughters in India. Talk about why you guys came to that decision. Careful not to play with your necklace, though. These are the sounds that everyone does it. Sure. Oh, yeah, take your time. We can be really informal about this. Remember, this all gets edited. You know, you can stop me. You can ask me a question. People often, when I interview them, and this is how I was in the beginning, you know, you think because there's a microphone in front of you, you have to be very formal. You know, we can be informal because this is just the raw tape.
Yeah.
So feel very comfortable.
So,
I'm interested in your decision to come to the U.S. Why did you guys decide to come here?
I was very happy in India with the work I was doing. And I had two daughters. They were growing with me. And then we decided, I'm talking about 1967, I got married. 68, and I had the first daughter. And in 1970, I had a second daughter, and we were very happy with everything. Back home, the way our culture is, you have to have at least one baby boy. So in the older age, usually son take care of the parents. We do not have a social security system over there. So the way our culture is, when you get older, you retire and, you know, your son take care of yourself, take care of the parents. And that is one of the unwritten thing that you have to have at least one boy, because daughter get married, she go to someone else's house. And you are left without anybody to take care in older age. So with the unseen force from our parents, we had to try one more pregnancy, and there come, I had a third daughter. We decided that was it, you know, and then we were happy. And 78, my wife got pregnant, you know, and which we did not plan. And I had a fourth daughter. We were not disappointed. We were happy with whatever the children we had, but my parents were disappointed. And that time we decided, like, now I have four daughters. To raise them good, to give them a good education, and to have them settle wherever they want to in a later life, we decided that we should go to U.S. The reason we decided to go to U.S. is because my brother-in-law, who is an engineer, and he was here in America for the last 5 years, and the way the system works, you know, you can apply for your family members to immigrate in America. And so we asked him to apply for us, and he did. With the paperwork, whatever, you know, the file came open, and 1979, February the 17th, we immigrated to America. The day I almost lost the plane from New York to Washington, D.C. It was a 17-inch snow.
But you got to the U.S.
Once I got to U.S. And then the Dallas airport in D.C. was closed for 3 days after I came home. Wonderful experience.
Must have been really scary, though.
It wasn't scary to come here. It was exciting. It wasn't scary because, I was going to the place where they were really settled people. They are relatives. We know them lifelong. So, place to live was not a problem. Eat food was not a problem. Work part, I had decided that I'm not going to get my job in the field where I have taken the education. So knowing the people who were in a hotel business from back home before I came, my job was there. All they were waiting, as soon as I come there, come to my U.S., I'll start working.
Now tell me about your decision to leave the three, everyone except for your youngest daughter in India.
Before I came to U.S., I did not go close to even aeroplane. And knowing anything and everything through word of mouth, study, reading about America, still I was going in a country where I don't know anything about. Back home, I knew my daughters were in a very good hand because we are Hindus. We have a combined family. I have my brother, his wife, his children, my mother. They all were a combined family. So I'm not leaving them behind like some stranger's place. They were in my house. So it was not difficult to leave them behind. The reason I left them behind because I wanted to put my foot on a solid ground before I bring them in, because I didn't want to get disappointed with so much responsibility and may not be able to take care of them just like that. It was the reason, the only reason I left them with my family. And after I came in here, as soon as I found in about 3 months that I have a solid footing, my third daughter, that is 2 years older than the youngest one, joined us. And within 12 months, my two daughters, they joined us in America.
So you had all three within a year?
Yes. I had all three joining us within a year.
Doing okay? You need to take a break?
So far, so good.
Good.
I don't know how
You're great.
Far.
Your voice is so lovely.
Okay.
It really is. Well, I guess you should tell me now. So we've got the family. You're here in the U.S. And so tell me about your ascendancy within the hotel business. You basically, you know, you were a night clerk when we left you. And within 2 years, you were a manager. But tell me about how you started building up in the industry.
In a hotel industry, Indians are coming up really, really fast. Back then, 25 years ago when I came, I started working as a night clerk and then started working two shift, that is 16 hours a day, 7 days, 365 days. That's how hard I worked. Basically, I was a manager or desk clerk, housekeeping, maintenance I was doing everything in a hotel without taking any break. And the reason I did all these things because I had some responsibility and I wanted to bring my children with me and have a solid footing. So to make a good footing, I started working 16 hours. My wife worked 4 to 6 hours as a housekeeper. And there was a rent-free accommodation provided by the hotel owner. So we had no expenses. Basically, milk, food, and maybe clothes or something. That was my only expenses to live my life. And it wasn't more than a few dollars, actually, except the cost of putting my daughter into nursery was, the, I guess, you know, that time, highest cost. So we started saving money. I had to buy a car so I can take my daughter to nurseries and then bring her back.
Sure. Take your time.
Okay. So we save some good money. We have quite a few relatives. And more than relatives, I had quite a few friends that I was in touch with from back home for a few years. And the way our community worked, that we help each other. So I had some money of my own. My relatives helped me some, and so many friends of mine, they helped me like $2,000, $4,000, $10,000. This, all the help I get it to invest into business so I can start my own business.
Your own hotel.
My own hotel I can buy. And with the help, I raised some money and I bought a 30-unit hotel in small town called Kutztown in Pennsylvania, which is a smaller town between Reading and Allentown. 30-unit motel with a swimming pool. I had a good place to live. That's where my two older daughters joined us and put them to school.
So within a year, you bought your own hotel?
Yes, 16 months.
Tell me that. So if I ask the question, how long did it take you before you bought your own hotel?
16 months it took me to buy my own hotel because it's not my all own money, but, you know, the way our community helped, friend helped, I bought my own place. And we started the life in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. The best thing I found here, that my two older daughters, when they came in, they had a problem with the language, just like me.
How old were they?
The firstborn was 68, so 11 years and 9 years. So when my daughter came in, my two older daughter came in, one was 11 year, one was 9 year. And in a primary education, they had some problem. And a great thing about even this small town education, they hired one Indian lady who know the Indian language and who can teach them English for these two girls.
Wow.
For 1 year, they hired the lady. And
they hired her.
The school hired an Indian lady to teach my daughters this language and put them in 1 year, they become really good in English. And
that meant a lot, huh?
That meant a lot because I don't know any other country somebody would do for foreigners, you know, hire for just for two girls, hire somebody to teach them the language.
So how did that make you feel, sort of as this new family, immigrant family in this town, how did that make you feel?
That part about hiring this lady made us think really good, because, you know, that made us think like, oh, we did not make any mistake coming here, because the first and foremost reason we migrated to this country was not for us, for my children, for my daughters. And soon as they came in, they got a very, very good start, and we got very good welcome from the in the town where we were.
And how did you choose that town? How did you choose that specific hotel?
When we decided to buy the motel, we were looking for all over. But as I said before, our community help. So one of our family friend owned this place, and they were there for last 10 years. So to grow, they moved from Kutztown, Pennsylvania to Florida, and they bought a bigger hotel. So they were in a process of selling the place. They found out that I'm looking for the hotel. So he called me, I talked to them, and then we made an arrangement so I can buy the motel. And don't forget, for the person with the less money and no credit record, it's very hard to get into, very difficult to get into the business. So owner financing is the key. So the family friend financed the place for me, and I pay him the mortgage. That's how I got into.
And I imagine that's how Indians have been able to get into the hotel motel industry.
This is one story of myself, but you can repeat it, you know, for 1,000 time or 10,000 time, and you will find how all first generation Indians got into the hotel business.
It's fascinating. Well, why don't you keep going? So you bought your hotel, your girls are in school, and then what happens?
So I bought the place in a small town. My children are in a school, and me and my wife, we run the place 24 hours, 7 days. Of course, we had a housekeeper to help us clean the place. And I think it was the best time for my life, that 4 years I run the place. In such a small town, everybody know me, and I know most everybody. And to grow, we decided to sell the place, because I paid all my debt in 4 years, and I had some money. I borrowed again from family, friends, and decided to grow up a little bigger place. It took us a little time. So in the meanwhile, to get a better place, I moved close to Philadelphia, a town called Norristown, which is a sister city with King of Prussia. And I lived there for a couple of years. In these 2 years, I had no job, no income from the motel. But to survive, I had learned something, the trade which I never thought I would do, is I learned telecommunication. So going back to motel in Pennsylvania was used to be like a very old manual telephone system. And after buying the motel in 1980, I decided to change the telephone system, and was like costing $16,000 to change the system. And I was not ready to pay so much money. One is see if I can save some money. Two is I have to change the telephone system. So I've started studying about basic telephony. And I got in touch with the Mitel Corporation, which basically makes a very good telephone system for the hotel motels. And I went for training. I got the training for the how to install the telephone, how to program, how to do the wiring and those things. And I installed a telephone system in my place. Cost me $10,000 only.
Instead of how much?
Instead of $16,000. So I'm looking at $16,000. Instead of $16,000, that would have cost me by getting someone professional, people to come in my place and install the telephone system. I got it done myself for $10,000. So the way I look at it is that I spent about 3-4 months to understand, study, and do this thing. And I saved $6,000. Which in turn helped me for those 2 years after I sold my place, and between I sold my place and got my second place, I had no income. And that knowledge came very handy, because so many Indian hotel owners, just like me, they were looking for someone to come and install the telephone system. So by word of mouth, I got into this telecommunication business. And for 3 years, I installed the telephone systems in the motels. And I was driving almost 25, 30,000 miles a year. And I installed the telephone system as far as Jacksonville, Florida, to Rockingham, North Carolina, to Savannah, Georgia, to Atlanta, to Buffalo, New York, to Atlantic City, New Jersey, to Cleveland, Ohio, and South Bend, Indiana, all over. Memphis, Tennessee. So that helped me traveling from one state to the other state and looking for the business, hotel business, motel business, you know, I was looking for. And my children were growing up. They were in high school, and the oldest one was knocking the door on a college. So we decided that we'll move out from this town and go to the big city where I can provide them a good college or university. And the selfish thought was like, my daughters will stay with me and they go college or wherever they want to, and they come back in the evening and I can see them.
And is this why you moved away from that first town?
Yes.
Okay, because even though you were working those 2 years, you were still living in the same town?
Yes.
Okay. And what is that town called again?
Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, but you had moved from...
Yeah, I moved out from Kutztown.
Kutztown
to Norristown, and I could not find a business in that area, which led me to think that I have to move out even from Norristown to the bigger city, because I may have to earn more money to send them to college. If not, I have to move to the bigger city so I don't have to spend so much money for their education and I still can see them.
Yeah. But why did you move from Kutztown why did you move to Norristown?
Oh, I moved from Kutztown to Norristown in order to buy a bigger place, bigger motel than I had in Kutztown.
So even though it was really, it must have been hard because you liked that town so much, Kutztown. No?
Kutztown is a very small town, and our place, 30-unit AAA approved motel, was the only motel. And it's a Pennsylvania Dutch town. Was a very good income part. But the scariest part came in that somebody wanted to build a motel in that town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we decided if somebody built a motel, newer place, we're going to lose some business for 2-3 years at least. Because they're going to take a big chunk out of our income.
Start over. Just tell me, because there was a little interference. Just tell me what you were saying, that you were there. It was a small town, and then you said that someone else was going to build. Will you just repeat that so I have a clean copy of it? Mm-hmm.
In the fourth year in Kutztown, we found out that one of a big hotelier wants to build a hotel in our town. Now in Kutztown, we were the only motel owners with a good income and good occupancy and whatnot. And the scary thought came in when we see it in a newspaper that this party is planning to build a motel in this town. And we decided that we need to move out because if our income go down, then our growth will be stunted. We may have a big problem. To overcome that, we decided to sell the place and move out to the other town. Excuse me. So we decided to move to Norristown. The reason is one of my good friends live in Norristown. And we decided to build a Best Western in other town.
A Best Western?
Yeah, with the help of in a partnership with my friend. And we started working on it. It took us a little longer time than we thought with the process of zoning change and getting the permit and those things. Almost we spent 2 years. And with that, my daughters were growing up and I said, you know, this is not going to work. So I have to move out from this town. So for those 2 years, I lived in Norristown, Pennsylvania. And then one thought was there that I want to go to the big city. So Philadelphia was the closest. And then in New York, Long Island, Harrisburg. And those are the cities I started looking. And then thought came into mind about Chicago. Because I had few friends in Chicago too. Though I never seen the city of Chicago in my life before, I decided to drive here in Chicago. Seen the place and see 5 universities there, and I said, this is a place I want to be.
See the city?
City of Chicago.
Because you didn't have a motel picked out yet, did you?
No.
You just wanted to,
I was deciding the town where I want to buy the new business. And '87, my oldest daughter was knocking on the door for the college. So 86, we came to Chicago, tried several places, and finally we end up buying or having a contract with hotel owner who previously owned this place called Apache Motel on Lincoln Avenue. And we took over July the 17th, 1987, this place. I rented an apartment very close to motel. And I had a family friend. I put them as a manager couple. And with them, my daughter stayed with them. And I still was in Norristown, Pennsylvania, where I had a house and my three daughters and my wife. So I run Apache Motel with the help of my daughter and family friend as a managing couple, running back and forth between Pennsylvania and Chicago for 1 year. The reason we did not move out, everyone, because my second daughter was in a 12th grade. So I didn't want to have her change school in a 12th grade from Pennsylvania to Chicago. So we stayed there for 1 year. And after she finished her high school, we bring her straight into the college here. And 88, I bought a house very close to the place. And we are still there since then. My oldest daughter, she got education degree in accounting. She went to University of, Northeastern University. The second one got the degree in psychology in UIC. Then my third daughter got her degree from DePaul. And
do me a favor, just because it's a national piece, so not everyone will know what UIC is, just say from University of Illinois at Chicago.
Mm-hmm. So my oldest daughter got education in Northeastern University in Chicago. The second one got the education in University of Illinois in Chicago. The third daughter, she got her education in DePaul University in Chicago. And the fourth one got her degree in Roosevelt University.
In Chicago.
And I think that my first goal was coming to completion, but education part was the first goal for me to come here. And second goal was to see them go make good places and then, you know, have a good life. And education-wise, they did very good. The oldest one got married with a boy within the same town and same college they were studying together. And they have their own hotel now, and her husband is marketing engineer. Second daughter got married. They are in St. Louis. And she got married with the doctor. And he's a psychiatrist. My third daughter got the education in business and then finally in a law. And she's assistant DA, married to a doctor again. And she is in Augusta, Georgia. My fourth daughter, She got her education in hospitality, of course, as father's business.
In hospitality.
And she graduated from Roosevelt University. And she started working with me, running my places. And she has been doing since then. Now she's working for Hyatt Corporation here in Chicago downtown.
And tell me about your daughter, your youngest daughter. Describe her for me.
My youngest daughter, her name is Kruti. She's a little precious thing for us. In a way, after she born, we decided to come to America. If she would not have been born, probably, we would not have decided. Because I was very happy back home with what I was doing, with the income I had, and social and family life I had there. And having a fourth daughter, that's Kruti I'm talking about, we decided to come here. And we accomplished what we wanted to. And she's still with us, unmarried. We're looking for a match. About the marriage part, we have converted ourselves between East and West. Back home, when I got married, my parents decided the bride for me. They told me, this is a family. This is a girl. You're going to get married. They tell you, like it? If not,
what's that? They tell you what?
Parents tell you, this is a girl, and this is a family, you're going to get married. And they ask you, you know, whether you like to get married or not, and you have say so a little bit, but the wife or bride is being picked up by family members. And with our children, if they find somebody of their own choice, that's great. If not, they ask us that, you know, if we can provide them some information. So with the family, friends, and our community, we have the list of members, you know, from our community all over the U.S., we have a book, we have addresses, we have a phone number, very well organized community thing.
Of Indians, you mean?
Of Indians. So we provide them the information that here is a boy, this is education, this is your age, and with the consent of the boy's family, and we provide them the email address and a phone number. They talk, they communicate. If they feel really good about it, they get together and they come to us that, you know, they want to get married, and that's how they get married.
And just so I'm clear, so this, tell me a little bit more about, there's this book. Who makes this book? Or how do you, does everyone have this book? Who's...
Our culture is different. From where we come from, if you go 5,000 years back, it's a caste system. And to give you the broad knowledge or idea, my last name is Patel. And from the state and from the district where I come from, 75% of the population last name is Patel. So you go in any town and call Patel, and nobody will look at you. So back home, we go by first name, in a way. So we have a community. And all the Patels from the district where I come from are interrelated from ages or from so many years that my uncle or my aunt or my, you know, whoever is spread all over the community. And some of them have migrated to America. So what we have done here, that all those people from back home, from our community here, we have created our own community. And what we call it samaj, in our language, is community. For example, we have a convention of our community in November 22nd, 23rd, 24th in Tampa, Florida. And
every year you have this?
This is going to be the first convention, but we have a convention, and then I'm one of the board of governor in our area, that is including Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana. So I know all the community people. So this is how community stay in touch, that, you know, we have a book which tell you what town this particular person is from, what is the name of the wife, which town is she from, how many children they have, U.S., where you live, your telephone numbers, your email address, those things. So this is one way the whole community stay in touch with whoever they want to, from east to west, north to south in America.
And do most of the Patels work, do they work in abroad in many different things, or are many working in the hotels, motels?
Indians, particularly Gujaratis, where I come from, most of them are business people. Back home, they were in whichever the business, most of them were in farming anyway. But when they come to U.S., they want to have their own business to grow, to prosper. And particularly the district where I come from is a Surat district. Most of the people are in hotel and motel business. But that doesn't take Gujaratis again, you know. But usually the people from our state are in motel business, in convenience stores, 7-Elevens mostly, Dunkin' Donuts, Quiznos, dry cleaning, with whatever their capacity or how much they can invest and whatnot, they go into any kind of a business. So you will find most of the Patels, if not working in a or having a motel, some other business. If not, then they are professional, like engineer or doctor or whatever.
Sure.
The education.
Say that again?
Education-wise, it's fully literate community.
Yeah. Now, so did your daughters, your other three daughters who are already married, did they end up finding their own match, or did they come to you for help with that?
My oldest daughter find her own match.
Oh, you said in college?
In a college, where they were studying together, and she came to me. I said, this is the boy I like, and we were looking for the boys, and then we had some leads, and we saw her different boys. And then she came up with the thing that, you know, this is where I want to get married. And that's how she got married. The second one was they got together in one of the wedding that we were invited, and they were there, and the boy and girl saw each other and they like each other, and they started communicating themselves. They told us, we knew them, the family wise, from back home even. So they end up getting married. The third daughter asked us to find somebody for her. So we found a right match that we thought was a right match. And they end up communicating with each other for 3, 4, 5 months, I guess, you know, and finally got together, decided to get married, and they had our blessing.
Oh, that's nice. Now, what do you think is going to happen with Kruti?
My youngest one want us to find a good match. And we are looking for it. We are looking for someone good match. Hopefully we'll find somebody.
Have any leads?
Quite a few leads we have. And we're working.
Now describe, you said she's very precious to you, but what is she like as a person? Describe her personality.
I said before, my daughter is like a little precious thing. The reason is, she is a total combination of East and West.
She's a total what?
Combination of East and West. She got all the things that our country, our community, our culture says. And she got all the education, all the behavior, all the power from the Western. She can cook any Indian food, or she will cook any Italian or Greek or any American food. She can clean the house, she can do the laundry, or she will, in a motel, she will pick up 25-inch TV and then, you know, install it, or she will take a screwdriver, open up the outlet, and replace the receptacle with a live wire. So she is raised like a girl. She's raised like a boy. And she's very energetic. You see the smile all the time on her face. And she's a public person.
She likes people.
See, anybody talks with her for 15, 20 minutes, you know, I would like to see her again. And then in my business clientele, my customers, so many of them, they know by her name. Where is Kruti? Say hello to her for me. So that makes you happy.
Now, how would you describe yourself? How would you describe your personality?
How I would describe myself or my personality? Let's say, from the very beginning, from even my college days, I was actively involved in so many activities in a college. In my job site in a university where I was working, I was a leader of officers in a lecturers union. Coming to America in about 4 years, we got together, and I was one of them, to find a place for our society people, for our community. And we started association, for our community association. And
what is that called?
It's called Charotariya Lewa Patidar Seva Samaj. It's our community name. And it's a non-profit organization. We have about 1,500 families that member of the association. And being in a hotel business for so long, there is nothing that I cannot do in a motel. I could be a good electrician, or I'm a good plumber. I can install a drywall, I can paint.
You can install what?
A drywall. Or I can paint, or I install the telephone system. I install the surveillance system, or I'll install the fire alarm system. I can fix TV, or I can talk to any customer and do the good marketing. Having that knowledge and knowing so many people, I got myself into a member of the Hotel Motel Association, which membership is for the people who come from Asia or India. The organization is called Asian American Hotel Owners Association. In short, it's called AHOA, A-A-H-O-A. And I'm a member of that organization since 1989. I'm a member. It started then, you know, and then changed the name. But anyway, I got very much active and bring all the Chicago hoteliers from Indian origin together and had our first meeting. And
You founded this?
No.
No.
All the community leaders, like in us, founded this thing. But I was one of their member. But I got very much involved in this association. Let me see. Let me think.
Sure.
What year was that?
You're very good with years and dates, by the way. You remember? Think, you're like on June 17th. You know, like, whoa, not everyone remembers like that.
A few dates that you don't forget because that's your first step of the ladder. What was the year I started? This 2005, so took 3 weeks, so 2000, and then '97.
Okay.
So in the year 1997, I become actively, very much active in my association, and I bring all the hoteliers to own the motel and hotel in Chicagoland, first time on one platform. And we become the part of the, I made them all the part of the organization.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
I was the only member in Chicagoland with the association before. And then, you know, I bring them together. We had the first meeting and bring the families of the people involved in a motel, owning the place, working in the hotel. And the first meeting we had like about 150 people back then. And first time we had a youth conference, which the young people of the Indian families who own the motels, bring them together on one platform and then let them discuss and then give them educational seminar and those things. That's how we started. And then I become the board of director in an organization for 3 years. I represented state of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. I added like about 400 members after I joined the organization, and we grew good. Today, AHUA has over 8,000 members. We own over 42% market share of the hotel, motel in the U.S.
Of the independent ones or of all of them?
All of them.
Wow. So, and what is the...
We pay over $1 billion in property tax and those things.
Say it again?
Indian pay over $1 billion in a property tax. Mm-hmm.
And do you, just with the hotels? Wow. What are the benefits of being in an organization like AHUA?
AHUA is like a community event in a way. All Indians, all Asians who are the owners of the hotel and motel, they are the members of this place, of this organization. And they the aim of AHUA is to bring the Asian American hotel owners to bring them on a platform where some poorest or smallest hotelier to the biggest hotelier, they can exchange the ideas, communicate, and grow together. It was the whole idea of having the organization. One of the other reasons the organization started back then was from the discrimination. The first problem we had was insurance. Not having the knowledge of the way our caste system worked, Patel's own hotels. So it became like a hotel, motel, and Patel thing. And a couple of Patels had a fire due to whatever the reason. But the insurance industry think these Patels are a liability to us. So they were not giving insurance to Patels who own a motel. And if not, the rates for Patels was different than any other community or any other hotel owner. So to fight the discrimination, this association started. I want to say 1987-88, few people got together in Georgia and started the organization, and then it started growing.
Now listen, I have a few more questions for you, but I know that I said it would take an hour, and it's a little more than an hour. Are you okay for time?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because I have a time today, and I may not have tomorrow,
good.
And I don't want to disappoint. And then
let's keep going. No, you're great. You're great. I just don't want. Do you need to take a drink or anything? Sometimes it takes. It's all exhausting.
Let's change
much.
The coffee, if possible.
Oh yeah, you want? Let me save this. Oh, you want to bundle your coffee? I'm sorry.